Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I heard a Baptist preacher in Fort Wayne once say, "If my members leave church not feeling good, feeling bad about themselves, then I have not done my job as preacher." While I would not put it exactly that way, hearing the words of the Apostle Paul this morning does make us somewhat bad about ourselves. In our text, the Apostle Paul holds the Colossian Christians to a very high standard, namely that of how to live a holy life. Just look at the first verses we've just heard, which tells us what a holy living should not look like. "Put to death," Paul says, "whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So just as a person rids himself of his filthy rags, so too when a non-Christian becomes a Christian, he should rid himself of all evil ways. Though we may assume that Paul is talking here of first-generation Christians who are very conscious of their heathen past, his expectations are also directed to all Christians, you and me included, because we too are conscious of lapses and failures. Therefore, though we have been Christians since baptism as children, we too must follow an ethic of contrast from the world around us. Christians just don't mingle with the world in such a way that they lose their own identity. Non-Christians, Jesus says, must see the works that we perform so that they may glorify God in heaven. It is so not only our Christian faith and belief, our doctrine, that distinguishes us from the world, but our lifestyle as well. The Apostle Paul does not end here with his high standard. He continues with a positive list of virtues or good actions. As God's chosen children, he says, he admonishes the Colossians here to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Not only is a Christian called to abstain from the ways of this world, he should also model his life around positive attributes called virtues. The classical Greek world knew of virtues, which goes back to the philosopher Aristotle, but I'm not quite sure whether the Colossian pagan world knew about such virtues from what we read here. For us as Christians, however, it is important that, unlike Aristotle's or the classical Greek understanding of virtues, our virtues such as compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness and patience are spiritual attributes which we don't bring from our natural powers, but which we bring forward because this Holy Spirit is working on us and giving them to us as a gift. They flow out of a faith and life in Jesus Christ. But these good actions influence our life with one another. As the one body of Christ, forgiveness and love will rule among us in the Christian community, the church, and at home in the family. Being a Christian not only makes a difference to this world, but it also positively influences our relationship here with one another. There's even more here. The Apostle Paul continues with his golden standard. Christians don't just stand idle here in their relationship to God. Our life is defined as a life placed under the guiding word of Christ. God's wisdom is shared amongst us, and God is praised with psalms, with hymns, and spiritual songs. Our entire spiritual life culminates in a worship of God in every way. So that the Apostle Paul closes our text here with these words: in whatever way, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These are then the rules of a holy living. We must abstain from certain ways of this world. We must clothe ourselves with good virtues as we deal with one another. And we worship God with words, songs, and spiritual psalms. That is a high standard the Apostle Paul is putting before us all. And we probably feel that he's asking too much from us. I just came back from a 3-week tour through Australia. And I could see and hear firsthand how the Aboriginal Christians are struggling with precisely these Christian standards the Apostle Paul is putting forward here in our text. Particularly their proneness to alcohol puts them in a downward spiral, drawing them further and further down into new failures. But we need not look at them. Look at yourselves. All of us are being tested. Can we ever be that distinctly different by avoiding the worldly desires in us? Are we really clothed with all these virtues called compassion, kindness, humility, forgiveness, and love? And do we truly worship and honor God the way he wants it to be? I think not. Therefore, many scholars here step up and say, to keep on track with our lives, we are to appoint to the third use of the law, that we are to apply positively the Ten Commandments to our lives as we try to live a Christian life after baptism. Indeed, God's word in the form of the Ten Commandments should continue to rule in our lives as we strive to lead holy lives. But speaking here of the third use as guide might mislead us to think that we are now left on our own to fulfill what Paul is asking here. We should also be sure to know that the third use as guide should not be understood as a source for our motivation, nor should it be understood like a checklist where we tick off everything that we have done, believing that we are now complete Christians. The underlying point here indeed is that we cannot do what Paul calls here if we divorce ourselves from Christ and from the Holy Spirit. There's so much talk of ontology nowadays in theology, which points to our state of being as Christians. Perhaps we could say this here: without us being firmly rooted in the body of Christ and having his word speak to us continuously, we will not be able to put to death what plagues us, nor produce the good virtues of love and kindness and forgiveness and humility, nor worship God himself. As long as you and I remain in Christ through faith, we will be able to fashion our lives according to what the Apostle Paul demands. Everything from the beginning to the end of our Christian life falls by being in Christ, by a faith that clings firmly to him and his word, and by letting the Holy Spirit rule in our hearts. Then the Holy Maker, as Luther would call him, will work on us, keep us in our steadfast faith, in lifestyle, and in worship. And so the source of our strength to meet that standard that Paul is setting before us lies not in the requirement themselves or about feeling bad of ourselves, but in being comforted in the knowledge of being members in the one body of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says here, through him and in him we give thanks to God the Father. Amen.